I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Now, the Freedom Trail across the Pyrenees is a hard hike. It's one of the toughest World War II escape routes from Nazi-occupied France into Spain. The trek is steep, it's remote, it has spectacular scenery at 2,500 meters. And local people risk their lives to help thousands of Allied troops, servicemen, Jewish refugees who were running to safety. Some were RAF and American airmen who crash-landed or parachuted to safety after being shot down over Europe. Evading checkpoints and surveillance, they were passed along a chain of local helpers, people who clothed them, fed them, hid them at great personal cost. On reaching the mountains, they were hidden in secret. They were put into groups for the final nighttime trek into Spain. And between 1940 and 1944, there were 33,000 successful escapes along the entire length of the Pyrenees. At the beginning of 1943, with increased German surveillance and often through betrayal, ambushes became common. And in all, more than 100 were arrested and deported, or simply shot on the spot as they tried to flee across the mountains. The Freedom Trail in World War II was all about safe passage through hostile mountainous territory to freedom. And safe passage through hostile mountainous territory, that is the setting of Psalm 121. It's one of 14 songs in the Bible called Psalms of Ascent, and they were written specifically for worshippers to sing as they traveled from far and wide up to the temple in Jerusalem for the major festivals. And as they traveled the mountainous region up to Jerusalem, these psalms were like the pilgrim's playlist. Often the journey could be dangerous before the days of made-up roads with steep ravines, not to mention bandits. This psalm, Psalm 121, assured pilgrims of protection. That God, their God, was the guardian of the godly. That their journey would be like the Freedom Trail. They would have safe passage through hostile, mountainous territory to worship. Now, there's a key word in this psalm that's repeated seven times. In the original Hebrew, the psalm was written in, is the Hebrew word shema. It means to keep. The NIV Bible translates it as either to watch over or to keep. So this psalm is all about the Lord God keeping his people, watching over them, guarding them. Journeying towards Jerusalem, it's a picture in the Bible of a bigger journey, journeying through this life to the heavenly Jerusalem, God's future new creation. So this psalm is the believer's song as they journey through this life. Psalm 121, if you like, it's the Christian pilgrim's playlist. Our journey through this world is a journey through joys and sorrows. It's a world of world wars and global pandemics and lockdowns. And we too need to know, as we journey, that our God is the guardian of the godly. the guardian of believers journeying through this life to God's future new creation. Now, we have a family tradition with Psalm 121. It's known as the Traveler's Psalm, and so whenever we go on holidays, once we're all packed up in the car, which takes a long time, but once we're there, we're ready to go, sitting in the car, we read Psalm 121 about God keeping us as we travel, and then we pray together. But we always remind ourselves that we can't take this psalm as a promise today of safety from accidents. No, God is promising here something much, much bigger. So let's explore this song about the guardian of the godly. Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? It is a brilliant question, and it's there in verse 1. Have a look at verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Now, as Old Testament pilgrims approach the hills around Jerusalem, this psalm would be an obvious song to sing. And for some reason, the mountains triggered this question. Where does my help come from? Maybe the writer of this song saw the mountains as a possible place to run for refuge, to trust in for protection. Out of the valley of potential danger to a place where he felt safer with the advantage of high ground. Or maybe he saw the mountains as menacing, the possible hideout of robbers, so he felt fearful and threatened by them. Or maybe, as he looked to the mountains, he saw idolatrous shrines dotted around. At times, sadly, they were commonplace in Israel. High places of idol worship that tempted him to worship the gods of the age that he could see. Whatever the mountains represented to him, they trigger in him one of life's biggest questions. Where does my help come from? What is my confidence in? Now, how do you answer that question today? Where does my help come from today? Where is your trust? Where is your confidence as you journey through life? Well, look at how the psalmist answers in verse 2. Have a look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So the mountains will not have his trust, a place to run to for refuge. And neither will they cripple him in fear, a place to run from in anxiety. And neither will they lure his heart away to worship the gods of the age. No, he is going to allow his eyes to look up and beyond the mountains and further than the mountains to the universe and further than the universe to its maker. His confidence is in the Lord, the promise-keeping, faithful God of Israel, who created all things in heaven and on earth. So what are the mountains that you look to for refuge? Family and friends? Healthcare? Could be a whole range of things. Maybe it's food and drink. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's job security. Or education. Or love. And in their right place, they're all good things to thank God for. But if they are where you only and ultimately look for help, then those things are in fact your idols, your God replacements. No, instead lift your eyes beyond them to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Or what are the mountains that you look to that fill you with fear? Maybe it's this pandemic that we're living through. Maybe it's personal sadness and loss. Maybe it's fear of the future, or a fear of your past, or rejection, or loneliness, or a wayward child, or the health of a loved one. Well, lift your eyes beyond those towering mountains of fear to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Here's why. This psalm shows that God is the guardian of the godly, bringing believers safely through this life to his future new creation. There's three things here about God being the guardian God. And the first is this: the guardian God, in life's path, he's never asleep. In life's path, he's never asleep. Have a look at verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the word that's used twice here, not, that's used twice in verse 3, is a word that's usually used for a request. So most likely verse 3 is in fact a prayer. May he not let your foot slip. May he who watches over you not slumber. In an era before paved roads that we take for granted today, travelers walked on uneven surfaces where there was danger of tripping and slipping down steep slopes. So the image here is of slipping into danger and chaos and misfortune. But verse 4 gives the reassuring answer to the prayer of verse 3. God provides. He provides surveillance, watchful care of his people 24/7. Now, my family tell me that apparently I shut down at about 10 o'clock every day. I have no idea what they're talking about. But apparently, I'm not so sharp past 10 o'clock. We've got some agreements here in our building. But you know, God, he never ever shuts down. He never sleeps on the job and somehow kind of makes a clumsy mistake as we kind of fall into trouble, as the steps that we take can cause us harm. We used to play a song to our children when they were small. My God never goes to sleep. He's watching over me night and day, giving me peace when I feel afraid. He'll protect me and keep me safe. My God never goes to sleep. What path is your life taking? Where are you on life's path? If you're a child or a teenager, most likely you've got energy and you've got time, but maybe not so much money. If you're an adult, most likely you have energy and money, but no time. If you're elderly, most likely you have time and money, but no energy. Life has different stages. Life takes us on different paths, where we encounter a whole mixture of joys and sorrows, achievements and disappointments. And had we lived at the beginning of last century, our paths would have journeyed through two world wars. Our paths today journey through this global pandemic. But this psalm tells believers journeying to God's eternal future, you have a guardian God in life's path. He's never asleep. He never shuts down past 10 p.m. He's wide awake. He's sovereign over life. He's sovereign over this pandemic. See, the promise here is that God will never let the believer's foot slip. But it's not a promise to catch his people every time we mess up and choose paths that are sinful and self-destructive. You know, sometimes God lets his people hit the floor with a very painful bump. He disciplines us, but he will never let his people slip beyond his grace. So, our question, where does your help come from? Lift your eyes to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, there's a second thing here about God being the guardian God, and it's this. The guardian God, in life's afflictions, he protects. In life's afflictions, he protects. Look at verse 5. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, in the Bible, your right hand is a symbol of strength and power. That the Lord is a shade at the right hand of his people is a picture of protection and of strength. And it's protection from harm caused by the sun and the moon. And that's a reference to extreme heat or extreme cold that a traveler on their way to Jerusalem might experience on the road. Maybe they're camping along the way. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, day and night. So what is the heat or the chill in your life right now? The afflictions. Maybe there's the heat of anxiety, of being overwhelmed with pressure, of sadness for lost hopes and shattered dreams that is breaking your spirit and is sapping your joy. Or maybe there's the chill of broken relationships and disappointment, or bereavement and loneliness. Maybe a felt sense of rejection. Maybe it's pointlessness. Yeah, the promise here is not that we'll be shaded from those things, but we find shade and protection as we go through those things. And many, many things are so painful that we do come out of them harmed with scars. And so again, the promise here is not for a cushioned life, but that believers will not ultimately be harmed, will not be spiritually ruined. Jesus' resurrection means there is future, eternal healing. So our question, where does your help come from? Well, lift your eyes to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thirdly, the third thing about God being the guardian God here, the guardian God, in life's dangers, he's for now and forever. In life's dangers, he's for now and forever. Have a look at verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now, what does that mean? What is God promising here? Because 20 million people died in World War I, and 60 million in World War II, and many of them would have been Christian believers. In 1918, 50 million people died of the Spanish flu pandemic. To date, over 1.2 million have died from coronavirus. And many of them will have been Christian believers. So what does this psalm mean when it promises believers, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And again, we see here, this is not a promise of a cushioned life, protected from suffering, protected from tragedy. It's the promise of a well-armed life. It's really interesting that Jesus, he makes a similar promise to verse 7. In Luke 21, verse 18, Jesus says this, "Not a hair of your head will perish." He says that to his followers. And again in verse 19 of Luke 21, "Stand firm and you will win life." But Jesus makes these promises in the very same breath as predicting that his followers will be martyred. Verse 16, "You'll be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death." So the promise of Psalm 121, verse 7, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life." It cannot be taken to mean an easy passage through life. In fact, Psalm 23 famously expects that the journey will involve walking through the darkest valley. The Lord watching over the lives of his people is bigger than brief rescues from harm in a broken world. And the clue to understanding it is at the end of verse 8, is in verse 8. "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." God's promise here could hardly be more reassuring. The Lord will watch over your coming and going. It means he's going to watch over everything. Your plans and your adventures. Your home and your work. Your rest and your play. Your wake up and your hitting the pillow. Whether you're in the youth of life with life ahead of you, or whether life is slowing and you're journeying towards life's evening. Ultimately, as we sing, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. But did you notice there that the Lord's care reaches beyond your final breath? And I'm not sure what's more encouraging here in verse 8, that the Lord's care is both now, so in my current life situation, all my ways are known to him, or that the Lord's care is forevermore. Think of it. There is utter fragility and helplessness, both at the beginning of life and the end of life. At birth, we were totally helpless, reliant on the care of others. And at life's end, we'll be totally helpless. We'll return to that same reliance on others. But at the moment of death, we will no longer be able to or need to rely on the care of others. But for believers, God's care will remain. He will watch over the life of his people in their death, over their coming and their going, both now and forever. So if you're a Christian here this morning, when you slip away from this life, the Lord's care, it will remain unchanged. And in that moment, you will find that Psalm 23, verse 4, is profoundly true. "Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me forever in his presence." So where does your help come from? Lift your eyes to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So where is your trust? Where is your confidence as you journey through life? Because the invitation here is to lift your eyes to the Lord. But there is a huge problem here. And it's this. By nature, we don't do that. We don't do that. Instead of looking to the law, we look elsewhere for refuge. And we take the good gifts that God gives us and we raise them to levels of importance in our lives that only God should have. We worship the gifts and not the giver. It's what the Bible calls sin. And it's a huge problem. It means that rather than looking to God and expecting his help, when we look to him, we can only expect his holy, just judgment on our sinful rebellion against him. But here is why. God sending his son Jesus into our world is such incredibly good news for us. Now I want us to do very briefly some time travel. I want us to go back to the first century AD. Imagine you lived in first century Palestine and it's Passover time. And you're traveling up to Jerusalem with your pilgrim playlist, the Psalms of Ascent. And you come to Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? And as you approach Jerusalem, verse 1, you lift your eyes to the mountains around you. And there's one hill that catches your eye. There's a crowd of people. And Jesus of Nazareth hangs on a cross between two criminals. There's this eerie, supernatural darkness on this particular afternoon, charged with blasphemy. But he really is the Son of God. The staggering truth, he is, verse 2, the maker of heaven and earth. And yet, there he is, hung out, strung out on a Roman cross. And he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God the Father seems to bring no help, as you might expect from verse 2. Life's path has taken Jesus to this cross, where verse 3, his feet seem to have slipped. They're bleeding. They're nailed to a wooden cross. And yet, God the Father, verse 4, is not asleep. With anguish, verse 7, he is watching over the life and the death of his son on the cross, for this was the path that the Father and Jesus chose. Affliction. Verse 6, Jesus chose to come to harm. On the cross, he chose not to be shaded from the fire of God's holy, just judgment that we deserve for our sinful rebellion against him. There, he took it for us as our substitute, that we might be forgiven. And that is why today you and I can, by faith, lift our eyes to that hill in the mountains around Jerusalem where Jesus died. And we can trust that he died in our place for our sins, for our forgiveness, that we might have peace with God. So today, lift your eyes to the hills and see the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, dying in love for you. Dying that you might be forgiven. Here is where there's true and there's lasting help. Put your trust in him and you'll know that he is the guardian of the godly, of believers. And you'll find that in life's path, he's never asleep. And you'll find that in life's afflictions, he protects. And you'll find that in life's dangers, he's for now and forevermore.